Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Jin Guangcheng, a dissident in China, fled illegal imprisonment in a province where he was beaten and held for the crime of exposing forced abortions and forced sterilizations in China, and took refuge in our embassy there. Now, I understand Chen has since left the American embassy and returned to China. We are told that it was his decision, that he never wanted to leave China, and that he intended to remain in his homeland to continue his protest against forced abortions and forced sterilizations. However, reporter Melinda Liu of The Daily Beast interviewed Chen and gives us another story. Apparently, Chen believes he was forced out of the embassy because of a deal the Americans made with China. He was transferred to a hospital and was encouraged to go peaceably by assurances that someone from the embassy would be with him at all times. Well, that didn't happen. And we don't know if it is because our embassy deceived Chen to get him to leave the embassy quietly, or if the Chinese reneged on a deal on their side of the thing. One report floating around out there is that China has agreed to allow Chen to apply for a student visa to study law in the U.S. Evidently, he studied law in China and is a lawyer. Now, I have some limited personal experience with the way these sorts of governments operate. When a country like China agrees to allow Chen to apply for a student visa, you need to listen closely. The word apply is the key word here, and that is not a promise that his application will be approved. The thing that stinks about all this is that Obama knows that very well, so does Hillary and the rest of them, but I think that weasel's looking for a way to avoid allowing this situation to interfere with his current efforts to get China on board with his policy regarding Iran and Korea, and to solicit their cooperation in certain trade disputes developing, and the issue of Taiwan's always in the background. Now, why won't Obama simply stand with this dissident? And a dissident who opposes forced abortion and forced sterilization, who has been made into a political prisoner, not even just by China's own laws, in yet another of a long string of human rights abuses, Tiananmen Square being the epitome of Chinese disregard for human rights in my lifetime. You know, our founders warned us against becoming indebted to other nations. George Washington warned us against creating obligations to other nations that would likely be used by them to compromise our values and principles. Now, does anyone think Obama would not jump all over this as an opportunity to politicize it in the same way he's politicizing the killing of Osama bin Laden? But who doesn't believe he would politicize this as a way to make him look like the champion of human rights? Except for one thing. It might be two things. The fact is, the fellow is against forced abortions and so on. Well, perhaps Obama's against forced abortions. All right. Anyway, but this, you see, we have to get along with China. You see, folks, he's in kowtow mode. Look, we have become a debtor nation. We have obligations to China. We can't just offend this human rights abusing nation, you see. You begin to see the problem? Look, Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert! The borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:7. You know, God warned his people not to borrow from other nations. He told them they could loan, but that they should never become a debtor nation. Deuteronomy 15:6, quote, "For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee." Now, I guess that's just another of those Bible passages that we have learned to ignore. Dan Savage works for a gay rights organization that Obama supports. They've met, and they have a lot in common. Now, Savage is well known, by the way, for his rants against Christians and against the Bible. He is a spokesman for so-called gay rights and he gives speeches at high schools and high school assemblies ostensibly to discourage teens from bullying gays. At a high school journalism convention in Seattle recently, he decided to openly deride Christians and bash the Bible, and even to cuss the kids who decided to exercise their liberty to leave the assembly and to leave him to the exercise of his. Yeah, you know, from behind his bully pulpit, he bullied the teens at this convention and rallied the assembly to join him in this bullying of Christians and Bible bashing. All of this going on in a public high school event funded by taxpayers. The difference between Savage and us is that we think bullying is always wrong. For him, it's only wrong, I guess, when it's against gays. However, perhaps one of the more disturbing things about this event is the fact that the majority of the students did not walk out on Savage, but instead, they sat there and applauded him and cheered him on as he berated and cussed the students who decided that they would leave the assembly. Now, folks, this Antichrist spirit is gaining increasing power among our kids. That's disturbing. This is a journalism convention of high school kids being rallied to support the idea that it's wrong to bully queers, but it's okay to bully Christians. And by the way, when I use the word queer, they use that word. That's their own nomenclature. No wonder that the MSM is so bigoted against Christians and biased in favor of the homosexual agenda. I mean, they're being indoctrinated by the progressive humanists entrenched in our education system, and they're trying to get all the way down to begin in kindergarten, for heaven's sake, anyway. Dan Savage made one statement after another that is absolute nonsense. I asked my lead researcher, Barbara Mielander, to transcribe Savage's remarks for me so I can make certain I don't misquote him. The exercise of going through this Antichrist diatribe will help you. Because, now listen, this is the stuff that's being fed to our kids in the classrooms of our public schools. Not all of them, of course, and usually not in such a blatant manner. But this problem is systemic in the education system today. It infects our programs from kindergarten all the way through our universities. There is a decided bias against Christians, and the notion that Christians are to blame for all bigotry and all bias and all hate, that's the idea they're putting out there, is becoming more popular. And while many are beginning to wake up and to notice what's developing here, it might be too little too late. And we could end up with something like an American Holocaust on our hands, God help us. I mean, Germany moved in this same progression, folks. Pay attention. Only then the target was Jews. Now the target is Christians. This will help you understand something I've been telling you for quite some time. It is impossible for the philosophy of the gay rights movement to coexist with a Christian-based philosophy. Now, ironically, the Christian-based philosophy will allow for homosexuals to have equal rights and liberties with them. So long as the Christian philosophy is the controlling philosophy of our government, gays will have equal rights. Now, we might debate over whether equal rights includes the right to change the meaning of the word marriage into something else, but Christians will make room for homosexuals to speak their mind, to enjoy the liberty of conscience, of speech, and all of that. And they're taking full advantage of it, which is fine. But listen, if the homosexual philosophy prevails in our culture to the point that it takes over as the ruling paradigm in our culture, listen, they're not going to allow Christians to have these liberties. They will take away our rights and liberties under the pretense that our exercise of the right of free speech, for example, to speak what we believe to be the truth about homosexuality is hateful, abusive, and bullying. Man, I hope you wake up. Now, Dan Savage can use hate speech against Christians, against the Bible, and so on, right? And no one calls it bullying. But that is exactly what it is. And the difference is that he is directly attacking individuals, cussing them in public, deriding them as persons, and so forth. When we speak about homosexuality and point to the truth about that behavior, such as the fact that the rate of domestic abuse among homosexuals is exponentially higher, and that's a bit of an exaggeration to my friend Jason, is way, like double that of heterosexuals, that the diseases afflicting homosexuals that are directly connected to their behavior are deeply disturbing, yet no one wants to admit it and talk about it honestly. Promoting this lifestyle among our youth is the greatest crime against our youth that so-called responsible adults have committed against our kids in my lifetime. The concern we have about the normalization of homosexuality in our culture, that it will lead to efforts to normalize pedophilia, bestiality, and other debauched behaviors, is something that they never really answer. They never actually answer. They only ridicule and dismiss the question, but they never actually answer the question. And the reason is, that is exactly what they intend to do. But when we say such things, that's not abuse. That's just pointing out the truth and expressing our opinion on a subject. It's not bullying. When Dan Savage ridicules the Bible, well, that's his opinion. I wouldn't call that bullying. Listen up. He has a right to that, even if it is premised on gross ignorance of the Bible. Christians offended by his statements also have a right to their opinions. However, when these, I assume they were Christians, some of them might have left who are not Christians, but they know bigotry when they see it. And so when these folks leave, Savage can't just accept their right to leave him as an exercise of their free speech rights to voice an objection to what he's saying. No, he has to attack them directly and personally and even use foul language to do it. Understand the difference. Now, what I've been trying to get you to see is that they are what they say they hate. And they have deceived themselves into thinking that we are what they say they hate. Oh, we're what they hate, all right. But they've deceived themselves into believing we're the ones who are a threat to rights and liberties when it's exactly the opposite. Christians are never going to want to take away the legitimate rights of homosexuals. But you can bet your bottom dollar that is exactly what the militant homosexual will do if they get power to do it. So let's look at Dan Savage's ignorant Bible bashing right after this. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Is going to church for you like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Have you and your family really grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Are you being challenged to grow in His grace? Or are you allowed to hide your lack of spiritual growth under the cover of so-called grace? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, guiding families through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the Spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. I'm having trouble with my voice this afternoon. I hope you'll bear with me. But let's get on with the show. Obama's administration is having difficulty dealing with the Chen Guangcheng affair, the blind Chinese dissident who exposed China's own official policy of forcing abortions and sterilizations, was unofficially arrested by Chinese police, imprisoned illegally, beaten, and his family harassed, all of this in an attempt to silence him. He escaped his political prison and fled to the U.S. embassy. Now we get conflicting stories. The official story is that Chen desired to leave the embassy and return to China, that he did not want asylum. However, in an interview with a reporter named Melinda Liu, he revealed that he believes he was forced from the embassy and that America is abandoning him in his desire to receive asylum in America. The question is this: why don't we simply stand by this man and offer him asylum? That is exactly what we would have done some decades ago when I was a kid. Answer: the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. China owns a significant amount of our debt. We are now a debtor nation, and it's a shame and a reproach to us that we are. And it doesn't need to be that way. In one or two terms of a good president, we could be out of debt with China. And the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Yes, the good book says that any nation under God ought not to borrow from other nations. We can lend, but we shouldn't borrow. We shouldn't become a debtor nation. By the way, this is one of the symptoms of our having turned our back on the God of our fathers. Our commitment to human rights is being compromised right now. Why? Because we're a debtor nation tied to the hip of a giant oppressor. You see, we have learned to ignore the Bible, all right, on such things, huh? And we're beginning to pay for it dearly. Which brings me to the Dan Savage Antichrist diatribe against the Bible, in which he told a large convention of high school journalist students that we can, and in fact that we should, learn to ignore the Bible. Anyone who knows anything about our history knows that our culture is crumbling at our feet and that it is happening precisely because we are ignoring the Bible. 3 million of our teens contract a sexually transmitted disease every year because we are ignoring the Bible. Over 1 million babies are murdered in the womb of their mothers every year because we are ignoring the Bible. How many more rapes, how many more murders, how many more robberies do we have to endure every year because as a nation, we have turned our back on the Bible? And many other evils rising because of this. You need to listen to Dan Savage's diatribe so that you can see what your tax dollars are paying for our kids to be subjected to. It also allows you to see the fruit of the humanist progressive indoctrination going on in our public schools. You know, when the vast majority of our students would sit there and listen to this and then applaud when Dan Savage actually verbally attacks students who walk out and even cusses at them. What are our kids being fed in the classrooms of our schools that would cause them to have no conscience about attacking fellow students merely on the ground that those students respect the Bible and object to someone mischaracterizing it? I mean, listen, the students who walked out did not throw stones at that fellow. They did not stand up and cuss him. They did nothing more than merely walk out as a way of exercising their freedom of speech to express their objection. And yet Dan Savage, to the applause and approval of the vast majority of the students in that assembly, cussed at these kids and verbally abused them. So, you need to listen carefully, because like I said, what you are hearing from Dan Savage is really an open confession of what the humanist progressive believes about you and your faith. Now first, he said, quote, the Bible. We'll just talk about the Bible for a second. People often point out that they can't help themselves. They can't help with the anti-gay bullying because it says right there in Leviticus, it says right there in Timothy, it says right there in Romans that being gay is wrong, end quote. Unbelievable. Look, I would like to meet the people who explained to Dan that they just can't help themselves. They can't stop bullying homosexuals because the Bible says homosexuality is wrong. Think about that. Have you ever met in your lifetime anyone who justified bullying somebody else because the Bible condemns the behavior? The Bible says fornication is wrong. I don't know of any Christian who has bullied a fornicator on that basis. I said Christian. Now, I'm not at this point talking about the Israelites during the time of the Mosaic Law. I'll discuss that later. I'm talking to you about Christians. Can you identify any Christian, really, or any person you know, who has ever said they can't help themselves, they bully homosexuals because the Bible says it's wrong? Yeah, that Bible just makes them do this. Unreal. Immediately, Dan Savage exposes his tenuous, frail reasoning, his hyperbolic irrationality. I mean, really, what arrogant commentary on something he sees from what is clearly a distorted view of reality. Now, come on. You and I both know that Dan Savage has never met anyone who has told him they can't help themselves from bullying gays because the Bible says homosexuality is wrong. That is either on his part a gross distortion and malignant mischaracterization of something or someone he's met or heard or something he's heard, or it's a total fabrication. Now, we can't even excuse Dan Savage's obvious invention of the bullying Christian on the ground that he was using compression. You know, that new literary device invented by Obama to explain how it is that Bill Ayers, who wrote his autobiography, said that Obama took a white girl on a date in New York and had a conversation with her afterwards that never happened. Yeah, an autobiography that relates a story that never happened. And Obama has admitted that this was a fabrication, a lie. But he excuses it by calling it compression, you know, literary device. He had many such dates and many such conversations, yeah, in which a white girl explained to him that she just could not be black. And you're voting for this guy. But in Dan Savage's case, that won't do. So how do you explain this invention on his part? Well, it's a rhetorical device indeed called straw man. You present a straw man, a fictitious character, and then beat him up in front of the audience. The straw man is supposed to represent an evil that you despise. So Dan Savage invented this straw man, and the straw man is the people who, according to him, use the Bible as an excuse to bully homosexuals. who would be the people he's talking about? Well, obviously, he's attacking Christians. But, you see, the problem is that with guys like Savage, you are bullying homosexuals if you merely state what the Bible says about them. So, since the Bible says, thou shalt not lie, if I take this occasion to declare, based on the Bible, that Dan Savage is a liar, am I bullying him? Or am I just making a point? Well, Dan Savage went on to say, quote, we can learn to ignore the BS, only he expressed the words, in the Bible about gay people, the same way we have learned to ignore the BS in the Bible about shellfish, about slavery, about dinner, about farming, about menstruation, about virginity, about masturbation. We ignore BS in the Bible about all sorts of things, end quote. Okay, so before I go into the specifics, and particularly into this nonsense about the Bible getting slavery wrong, I want to address the simple ignorance of this statement and help you understand what we're dealing with here. Now, his business about our ignoring what the Bible says about shellfish, for example, provides an opportunity to offer a simple clarification that if Savage had taken just a little bit of time to research, he would have avoided making such a ridiculous error. The Bible is comprised of two major divisions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The restrictions against eating shellfish are exclusively Old Testament restrictions that are, in fact, clearly stated in the New Testament to no longer be applicable for New Testament Christians. So, Christians have not come to learn to ignore the Bible on the matter of shellfish. They are heeding the Bible's explanation that the Old Testament law has been fulfilled in Christ. We are no longer under that law, but are under the Spirit of Christ in the New Testament. Now, this actually also explains why we don't stone adulterers and fornicators. However, the New Testament also condemns adultery and fornication, but we're not instructed to stone those who offend in these areas. Unless they repent, we are not to have any concourse with them. We're not to encourage that behavior, of course, not to countenance in our own midst of our churches and so on. We're not to receive them into fellowship of our churches, but unless they repent and turn from it. But nowhere are we told to stone them. The Christian is obliged to reprove the unfruitful works of unrighteousness, which would be to rebuke them openly. But this is with the intent to provoke them to repent and receive the grace of forgiveness available right now in Christ. Remember, the woman taken in adultery and presented to Jesus, who was challenged to apply Moses' law and stone her. He had pity on her, and because she was repentant, and that is the spirit of the New Testament. So in the New Testament, we're not told to stone and people who commit adultery or do those things. We rebuke them, we reprove them, we call on them to repent, and we don't accept that in our own ranks, but no, we don't stone people who do that in the New Testament. And that's because we're following and heeding the Bible, not because we've learned to ignore it. Anyway, first of all, the fact that we don't do some of the things today that believers were obliged to do within their own commonwealth, by the way, the fact that we don't do them today is not because we've learned to ignore the Bible. It's because we are heeding it. We're doing what it tells us to do. We're reading it and heeding it, something apparently Dan Savage has not bothered to do. And unfortunately, I've come up on my time. This is frustrating to me because I really wanted to dig into his statements about slavery. So I'm going to do that next week. I've addressed it several times in the past, but we need a refresher. But to summarize, it's true that some Christians in the past have used certain verses in the Bible to justify slavery and any number of other evils, like the Inquisition, for example. But the fact that some Christians get the Bible wrong on certain subjects sometimes doesn't make the Bible wrong on the subject. Slavery, as it was practiced during the slave trade years, is strictly forbidden in the Bible. I will show you the scripture teaches that the idea of one man owning another man as property is wrong. And I will go into this next week. But look, a simple way to address this is to bring out the simple fact, the historical fact, that it was Christians who ended slavery, not atheists. Also, during the Civil War, the South did not fight that war to protect the slave trade, or at least that is not what they wanted anybody to believe, which tells you something about what they thought about that. It's interesting. In fact, if Dan Savage had ever bothered to actually study the subject, he would discover that there was a very strong anti-slavery movement already developing in the South, and most of those leading the South believed that slavery was on its way out anyway, and they accused Lincoln of using the slave issue disingenuously. Now, that's another debate. I don't agree. I think that many of the movers and shakers in the South were trying to protect the slave trade. But as I've explained to you before in matters of war, there are several levels. There are all kinds of different factions who have their own agendas to pursue when something like this develops. But none of that belies the fact that the anti-slavery movement had gained significant strength in the South and was making headway. And that segment in the South who opposed slavery were Christians. It was Christians who helped slaves escape to the escape the South to the North. It was Christians who opposed it in England, by the way. All of these Christians opposed slavery based on what they saw in the Bible on the subject. Now, Dan Savage, nevertheless, represents the fruit of what your kids are being taught in the public school system, which explains why most of the students in that assembly sat there and joined Savage in his savage and ignorant attack on Christians and on the Bible. You know, it's funny how in prior administrations, the concern was over what the kids were being fed in the classrooms. Now, we're only concerned about what they're being fed in the cafeteria. One listener recently emailed me wondering out loud about how school lunch has become a social issue. You know, like the rest of us, at least those of us, who made it through school without the First Lady trying to control what we ate. She asks, quote, why do they have to try and cover every aspect of life at school? End quote. She wonders why our kids don't know anything about the Constitution, why so many never learn to read well, can't add without a calculator, and their writing skills are so poor they can barely complete an application form. And I think that's a great question. And Lord willing, next week I'm going to show the relationship between this development and how a guy like Dan Savage is allowed to feed our kids such vile junk in a gymnasium. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see that they are on. You see lights on if you see that they are on, and you will ride like Revere and spread the warning. And say lights off if you disagree with me. And I do appreciate those who call and disagree with me, and even when you get kind of nasty in your remarks, that's fine. I do appreciate hearing from my listeners. Lights on or lights off, give me a call or write me an email. Call me at 1-888-770-8000. That is 1-888-770-8000. You don't need to one with a cell phone. You'll reach our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website and clicking on the Contact Us button. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com. Thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button. If you're in a hurry, you can just click on the lights on or lights off button and say send, or you can write me out a message. If you're in a hurry when you call, just say lights on and hang up, or say lights off and hang up. I prefer, of course, for you to leave me a message and let me know what your thoughts are on these subjects. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Singing Psalms is an audio CD of several psalms sung to my melodies. God wrote the words, and I wrote the music. The cost is $10. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.